ourselves to you. We are Bill and Beth Uni. The name of the ministry is Fresh Fire Ministries. And does anybody know what Sunday this is? It is Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday. It's the Sunday on the calendar when we remember the outpouring of the baptism in the Holy Spirit on that day of Pentecost 2,000 years ago. And this morning our message deals with the Holy Spirit and the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. Jesus said these words. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. I'm reading from the New King James Version. It says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." If you'll join with me this morning, let's pray together out loud. Let's make it our personal prayer as we pray this prayer together out loud this morning. Pray with me out loud, please. Dear God, I thank you for who you are and for what you are doing in my heart, in my life, and in this church. And this morning, I ask you to further your work in my heart, in my life, and in this church. Have your way in me this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated, please. George Wood, our former general superintendent who retired recently, shared this incident. George Wood said, "I was preaching in a large Assemblies of God church in a Middle Eastern country." Now that's a mouthful all in itself. A large Assemblies of God church, where? In a Middle Eastern country. He said, "When the building emptied of believers, the pastor explained to me that hundreds of Muslims were at that moment gathering outside, waiting for the doors to reopen." Why were they coming? Why were they coming? Because they knew the Christians prayed for the sick and cast out demons. Here's the application for this morning. In that church, the question of whether we need or do not need the baptism in the Holy Spirit does not even come up. That question does not even come up, do we need or do we not need the baptism in the Holy Spirit? He went on to say, "When you are confronting powerful evil forces, when you are invading hostile enemy territory, when you are confronting situations individuals have no human answers for, and facing situations where positive thinking and self-help techniques do not work, you must have a power that comes from God. And we need that power too. And the baptism in the Holy Spirit is the gateway to experiencing the miraculous. It's the doorway to the supernatural." And you see, it's not only in the Middle East, but you and I, we are confronting powerful evil forces. You and I, we are invading hostile enemy territory. You and I, we are confronting situations individuals have no human answers for. And you and I are facing situations where positive thinking and self-help techniques do not work. We must have a power that comes from God. And the baptism in the Holy Spirit is that power and is the gateway to experiencing the miraculous. But unfortunately today, many view the baptism in the Holy Spirit as being unimportant. But Jesus saw it as being very, very important. In fact, prior to our text in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, Jesus was telling his disciples. In fact, it says in the New King James Version and in the NIV Version, it says he commanded his disciples to not leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise. The ESV Version, English Standard Version, says he ordered his disciples. You see, he did not insinuate, he did not suggest, he did not imply, but he commanded, he ordered them to stay in Jerusalem. Don't leave without this, is what Jesus was saying. Luke 24, verse 49, Jesus said earlier, said, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But wait in the city of Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high." Then Jesus used his last words on earth to talk about this. You know, when people get down to their last words, they talk about what's important, don't they? Ever been with somebody and life is coming to an end? They're going to talk about what's important. It can be something as simple as parents going out for supper for the evening. They leave their teenagers home alone while they go out for supper. They're going to talk about what's important. Don't invite your friends over. Make sure you do your homework. People talk about what's important when they get down to their last words. Jesus' last words, Acts chapter 1, verse 5. First of all, Jesus said, "For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." And then his very last words, our text this morning, when Jesus said, "And you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth." Jesus thought his followers needed the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Not only his followers back then, but his followers today also. We find Paul, he thought believers needed the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 19, Paul comes to the city of Ephesus, large metropolitan city. There he finds 12 men, 12 disciples in this large city. And the first question that Paul asked them, as you dissect that portion of scripture, Acts chapter 19, verses 1 to 6, you look at the Greek wording and you look at the tenses that are there. The question that Paul asked these believers was, "Have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit since you believed?" We find Paul thought believers needed the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And then we find the early church thought believers needed the baptism in the Holy Spirit. We find in the book of Acts chapter 8, when Philip goes to Samaria, there in Samaria, Philip is preaching. Many believe what Philip is preaching about Jesus. They accept Christ. The Bible tells us when the early church leaders heard there were all these new believers in Samaria, they took Peter and John away from whatever they were doing, sent them 35 miles down to Samaria to tell these new believers about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. We find Jesus thought this was important. Paul thought this was important. The early church thought this was important. And that was basically what our theme was the last time we ministered here. We were preaching on what was so important, and that was the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Unfortunately, some see it as unimportant. But then others, they view the baptism in the Holy Spirit as being a goal. They see it as an end. They see it as a final destination. They see it as something to check off the bucket list. Well, I've got that. And they see it as an end, a final destination. Let me illustrate it like this. It'd be like a person going out there and buying a generator. You all know what a generator is, right? A person going out there and buying a generator, and they're seeing getting the generator as the goal. Having the generator is not the goal. The goal is to have lights that are working. The goal is to have an air conditioner that is working. The goal is to have a refrigerator that is working. You see, the generator is not the goal. The generator is the gateway to the goal. Oh, yes, 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 you need to have the generator. The generator is essential. But it's not the goal. The goal is working lights, working refrigerator, working air conditioner. And so it is with the baptism in the Holy Spirit. It's not just a goal. It's much more than that. It's a gateway to the supernatural. And that's what we want to focus on this morning. Three supernatural things that the baptism in the Holy Spirit is the gateway to. First of all, the baptism in the Holy Spirit is the gateway to supernatural prayer for life and ministry. You see, when we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, we have a whole new supernatural dimension to prayer. You see, without this, we pray for only what we know about and what we may know about, whatever it is. And that can be very, very limited knowledge. But when we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, we can pray in the Holy Spirit. We can pray in tongues. We can pray in, as some call it, our prayer language. It adds a whole new dimension to our prayer life. Listen to what Paul said. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15, Paul says, I will pray with the Spirit. I will also pray with the understanding. When we pray in the Spirit, we pray for things we don't know about, but the Holy Spirit does. And hey, He knows a whole lot more than we do. Second of all, when we pray in the Spirit, we pray for things we don't know how to pray for, but the Holy Spirit knows exactly how to pray for them. You ever face something that's so complicated and complex, it's like a tangled ball of yarn? You've got no idea how to pray for this thing. But we can pray in the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit knows exactly how to pray for this. Thirdly, when we pray in the Spirit, we can know we are praying in accordance with the will of God. I'm not always sure my English prayers are in accordance with the will of God. Sometimes they can get self-serving, they can get self-centered, they can get off track. But when I pray in the Holy Spirit, I know that prayer is in accordance with the will of God. Listen to what Paul said, Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. Paul says, likewise, the Spirit. Notice, the Spirit. The Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us. He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. When we pray in the Spirit, it catapults our experience from the natural into the supernatural. It's a supernatural dimension of prayer. Also, as we pray in the Spirit, it releases the Holy Spirit to work. When we pray in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit can give us direction. The Holy Spirit can give us insight. The Holy Spirit can give us answers. And the Holy Spirit also, we become more and more sensitive to the Holy Spirit as we pray in the Spirit. Let me illustrate it like this. Remember years ago, before there ever was cable television, everybody had an antenna on their roof. And you had the antenna on the roof, and that's how you got your television reception. And what did you do if you wanted to get better reception? You either rotated the antenna, or else you put it on a taller pole. And you got better reception. I liken that when we pray in the Holy Spirit, it's like us rotating our spiritual antenna. It's like us putting the antenna on a higher pole so we can hear. We can better hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. Let me illustrate it with a story. Jackie Pollinger tells this story. She was a missionary to Hong Kong. And there was this old Buddhist woman that she was trying to bring to Christ. But she was getting absolutely nowhere in bringing that old Buddhist woman to Christ. So one day she thought, I'm going to start to pray in the Holy Spirit for that old Buddhist woman. And so she called out that old Buddhist woman's name and she began to pray in other tongues for that old Buddhist woman. And one day as she's praying in the Spirit for that old Buddhist woman, the word vegetable came to mind. She thought, well, that's really bizarre. I'm going to go ask that old woman's son if the word vegetable would mean anything to his mother. And so she went and asked the son, would vegetable mean anything to your mother? And the son said, oh, yeah. Because you see, my mother has only eaten vegetables all of her life in order to try to please her God. With that new revelation of vegetables, Jackie went to that old Buddhist woman and said, you know, I want to tell you that God loves you so much for trying all of your life to please Him by eating vegetables. And He has sent me here today to introduce you to Him, and His name is Jesus. And that day, that old Buddhist woman gave her life to Jesus. What's the key to the story? It was the revelation of the word vegetables. Well, where in the world did that come from? When she was praying in the Holy Spirit. You see, there's so much going on all the time in the spirit realm that we have little or no revelation of. And our only means of tapping into that realm at all is through praying in the Holy Spirit. The baptism in the Holy Spirit allows us to pray in the Holy Spirit. That sharpens our ability to say the things that need to be said and to hear the things that need to be heard. Jackie Pollinger said that when she started to pray in the Spirit, she said, "I find myself walking down the street." Her ministry is primarily among the gangsters in the streets of Hong Kong. And she said, "I walk down the street, I'd bump into a gangster. Some of them I knew, some of them I didn't. But they started to believe in Jesus, and I saw people healed." She said, "Because I was praying in the Spirit, God was able to lead me to people He had gotten ready." She summarized it this way. She said, "I started to pray in the Spirit, and then He began to work. And no one works like Him." You may say, "Well, everybody who's baptized in the Holy Spirit, they pray in the Spirit on a regular basis." I didn't. I prayed years ago, I prayed in the Spirit when I felt like it. I prayed in the Spirit when I had really big problems. You know, you got regular problems praying English. You get got big ones, then you get desperate, start praying in other tongues. But I remember I got challenged in my heart that every day I'm going to take time to pray in the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to wait for really big problems. I'm not going to wait for some feeling. But every day I'm going to take time to pray in the Holy Spirit. And when I began to do that, I found God began to do things in me that weren't happening before. God began to do things in the ministry that weren't happening before. I think Jackie Pollinger was onto something when she said, "I started to pray in the Spirit, and then He began to work, and no one works like Him." You might say, "Oh, well, that was just you." You know, they've done surveys of Pentecostals and charismatics in America. And that survey was done by Pew Forum. And that survey showed that of Pentecostals and charismatics in America, 49% never pray in the Spirit after they get baptized in the Holy Spirit. 49%. What a waste. That's like going out there and buying a generator and you just let it sit there. Let's be people who determine we're not only going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, but we're going to pray in the Holy Spirit on a regular basis. Every day we're going to endeavor to take time to pray in the Holy Spirit. Three quick keys to give you. Number one, let's determine that every day we're going to pray in the Holy Spirit. I can assure you the enemy's going to whisper every lie into your ear he can think of as to why not to do that. "Oh, you don't understand what you're praying." Hey, you're not the one that answers anyway. You don't need to understand as long as God understands and He understands. But let's pray in the Spirit every day. Second of all, if you can, find a place where you can pray out loud in the Spirit. Find a trail that you can walk down. Go in your prayer closet. There's something about praying out loud. And then thirdly, we encourage people, slow down as you're praying in the Spirit and you'll find the language is going to grow. People sometimes say, "Well, I only have a few words, only have a phrase." If you slow down, the language is going to grow. But let's be people who pray in the Spirit. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is a gateway to supernatural prayer for life and ministry. Second of all, the baptism in the Holy Spirit is a gateway to supernatural power for life and ministry. In our text, Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "You shall receive power." Power. The Greek word that's translated power is a Greek word, dunamis. It literally means ability, enablement. You shall receive power. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is a gateway to supernatural power. You look at those early disciples. They walked with Jesus for 3.5 years. Wherever Jesus went, they went. Whatever Jesus said, they heard. Whatever Jesus did, they saw. 3.5 years they followed Jesus. And on the night when Jesus was arrested, what happened? They scattered, they hid, they fled. They were like rabbits. They're gone. You look at Peter on the night when Jesus was arrested, when Peter was confronted by servant girls who said to Peter, "You're one of His followers, aren't you?" Paraphrasing Peter's response, Peter said, "I never met Him. I don't know Him. I don't have a thing to do with Him." And then 50 days later, that same Peter is publicly and powerfully preaching before thousands. What happened to him? He got baptized in the Holy Spirit. What happened to the others? They got baptized in the Holy Spirit. There was something they needed and something they received when they got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and it changed their lives. They went from those who hid, scattered, and fled to those who stood strong for Jesus before being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Did you ever notice there seemed to be little change in those disciples? They were not really stellar performers as you read through the Gospels. I mean, they're found arguing who's going to be the greatest. Who's going to have the best position? Scattered, hiding, and fleeing when Jesus got arrested. Even after the resurrection, they were still looking for an earthly kingdom. They still hadn't gotten it. But after they got baptized in the Holy Spirit, there was a noticeable change that took place in those disciples. I mean, you could threaten them with whipping, and the response seemed to be, go ahead, I've been through it before. Threaten them with prison, go ahead, been there before. Threaten them with death, go ahead, to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. I mean, what could the enemy do to them? There was a new undeniable power that had come into their lives. What's the conclusion we can draw? What walking side by side with Jesus for 3.5 years could not accomplish, the baptism in the Holy Spirit accomplished in their lives. Now, lest there be any misunderstanding, let me very clearly emphasize by asking a question. Is the baptism in the Holy Spirit necessary for salvation? No. We are saved through a commitment of our life to Jesus. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing added to. We are saved through a commitment of our life to Jesus. That's it. But the baptism in the Holy Spirit is necessary in order to reach one's full potential. You see, the power of the baptism in the Holy Spirit is necessary to reach one's full potential. Somebody said it this way, without the baptism in the Holy Spirit, we will not be all that we can be. With the baptism in the Holy Spirit, we will be more than we are. In my own life, after I'd given my life to Christ at the age of 10, but I was a person who I couldn't speak in front of a group of people. I couldn't speak to people about Jesus. But after I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, there was a new power. There was a new power that came into my life. I found I could speak in front of a group of people. I found I could tell people about Jesus. There was a new power that came into my life. But let me quickly illustrate now how it worked, because it can be an aha moment for somebody. Because sometimes people say, well, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit and I didn't find that power. Let me tell you how it worked in my life. People sometimes say, well, I don't have that power because I still have fears and butterflies. Hey, the fears and butterflies just simply mean you're still alive. Thank God you're still alive, okay? You've got the power. When you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, that power's in there. Jesus said, you shall receive power. When we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, that power is in there. But the power needs to be released. Paul, have you ever noticed how often Paul prayed for boldness? Again and again and again you read, for example, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 to 20. I'll just read parts of it. Paul says, praying always in prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And for me, that utterance may be given to me that I may make known, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, that I may speak boldly. Have you noticed the words boldly in there? You see, here's the key. The power's in there when we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, but the power has to be released. How does the power get released? It's when we take that step of boldness and do what God is asking us to do. That's when the power gets released. Are there going to be fears? Yes. Are there going to be butterflies? Yes. But that doesn't mean you don't have the power. That just means you're still alive. But you just take that step of boldness and you'll find the power gets released. Let me illustrate it like this. Go back to the generator illustration. You can have a generator and you have that generator running. And that generator's got all kinds of power in it. It's running. It's got power in it. But the power just sits there until you do what? You plug something in. And when you plug something in, the power gets released. How do we plug something in? It's when God opens a door and we go through that open door. That's when the power gets released. Let me quickly illustrate it from my own life. Got baptized in the Holy Spirit walking across a field in the middle of the night at Northern Michigan University, Marquette, Michigan. Nobody was around when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Nobody even knew I had been baptized in the Holy Spirit. A few days later, the pastor of the church I was attending while I was going to Northern Michigan University came up to me and said, "Bill, would you be willing to share your testimony on Sunday night?" Now, he didn't even know I'd been baptized in the Holy Spirit. He's talking about my testimony about giving my life to Christ at the age of 10. And so I said, "Sure." You know what I spent the rest of the week doing? I spent the rest of the week saying, "Why did you say yes to that man? What in the world were you thinking? What have you gotten yourself into? What have you done?" You say, "Where's that power?" I'm getting to that. All week long, stewing, fussing, fretting about what have you done? What have you gotten yourself into? Why did you say yes to him? Stewing, fussing, fretting. Sunday night comes. Service is progressing along. And now there not only was the stewing and fussing and fretting, but now there's cold hands and sweaty palms to go along with it. You say, "Where's the power?" I'm getting to that. All through that service, cold hands, sweaty palms, stewing, fussing, fretting. Service is progressing along, and I'm hoping this is one of those services where the Holy Spirit was just going to take over and they'd forget my part. But unfortunately, that wasn't happening. Service was progressing along. They had worship time, did the offering, did the announcements, they did all the things that happened. And then the pastor says, "Okay, Bill, come on up." And I start walking up there, and now there's not only the cold hands, sweaty palms, and butterflies, but now there's shaking knees to go along with it. You say, "Where's that power?" I'm getting to that. Walking up to that podium, sure enough, sweaty palms, cold hands, butterflies, shaking knees. Got to the podium, they were still there. Cold hands, sweaty palms, butterflies, and shaking knees. But I found that when I started, there was also a new power. There was a new power that was helping me to do what God had opened the doors for me to do. Were there sweaty palms? Yes. Were there cold hands? Yes. Were there butterflies? Yes. Were there shaking knees? Yes. But there was a new power that was helping me to do what God had opened the doors for me to do. You see, when we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, there is a new power into our lives that helps us to do what God is opening the doors for us to do. But for the power to get released, we've got to plug something in. We've got to take that step of boldness. And when we do, the power will be there. Thirdly and lastly, the baptism in the Holy Spirit is a gateway to supernatural provision for life and ministry. Now, we're not speaking of financial provision here, while God does provide financially, but we're speaking here of provision for life and ministry. He gives us the tools. He gives us the equipment for life and ministry. First of all, he gives us the gifts of the Holy Spirit to help us in life and ministry. You see, the baptism in the Holy Spirit makes all the gifts of the Holy Spirit available to the believer and increases the likelihood of being used in the gifts. Technically, even a believer who's not baptized in the Holy Spirit could be used in most of those gifts, but very unlikely, very rarely, and by very select individuals. You see, you look at the Old Testament. That's the Bible basis for what I've just said. You look at the Old Testament and you find out of those 9 gifts, 7 of them you find in the Old Testament. You'll find healing, you find wisdom, you find knowledge, you find faith. But only very rarely, very sporadically, and by only a very few select individuals. But after Pentecost, you find the gifts in operation by many and often. When baptized in the Holy Spirit, all the gifts of the Holy Spirit become available to the believer. I call them God's power tools. When we did the seminar on the gifts of the Spirit a couple years ago here, we call them God's power tools. The way I illustrate it often is like this. You could build an entire house on old hand tools. I mean, the old hand drill, the hand saw. You could have the old hand hammer. I mean, you can build an entire house with the old hand tools. People did it for centuries. But oh, how much better to have power tools. Oh my, to have that pneumatic hammer and to have a skill saw and to have a power drill. The gifts of the Spirit, they're God's power tools for life and ministry. The gifts of the Spirit, there's the mind of God gives a word of wisdom when you don't know what to do, but God gives you that word of wisdom, a word of knowledge when God gives you facts that you'd have no way of knowing unless God gave you those facts. And then there's the discerning of spirits, discerning where something is, whether something is of God, something is of the flesh, something is of the enemy. The power of God gifts, the gifts of healings, working of miracles. And then there's the gift of faith, that supernatural faith that God gives for a particular situation that you just know that you know that you know this is the way it's going to be in that situation. The voice of God gifts, a word of prophecy, a message in tongues. We had that earlier this morning. An interpretation of that message in tongues, had that earlier this morning. Baptism in the Holy Spirit makes all the gifts of the Holy Spirit available and increases likelihood of being used in the gifts. Secondly, the baptism in the Holy Spirit opens the door to a greater anointing of the Holy Spirit. The anointing will help you to be more than you are in the natural. The anointing will help you to say more than you know in the natural. The anointing will help you to do more than you can do in the natural. The baptism in the Holy Spirit increases the anointing. And then thirdly, the baptism in the Holy Spirit gives us a greater love for Jesus and enables us to love others in a greater way. It's been said the baptism in the Holy Spirit increases the intimacy with God. One Bible school instructor said it this way: Pentecostals not only believe in God, they experience Him. They not only believe in God, but they experience Him. I came across an article a while back that was a very unique description of us Pentecostals, written by an evangelical. Very, very well-known, reputable evangelical scholar. He teaches on the faculty at Wheaton College in Northern Illinois, Ed Stetzer. And he is an evangelical, but he was writing about Pentecostals. And I won't read the whole thing, just a couple of quotes here. He says, Pentecostals tend to be less nominal than other believers. Nominal means existing in name only. He said, Pentecostals tend to be less nominal than other believers. The reason, he said, the baptism in the Holy Spirit. He went on to say the baptism in the Holy Spirit makes for a more robust faith. He went on to say stagnation is not compatible with a real Spirit-filled experience. Couple last quotes. He says one of the dangers today is bland evangelicalism. Now mind you, he is an evangelical. He said one of the dangers today is bland evangelicalism. He said, who wants to duplicate that? Nobody. He said, Pentecostals, they attract people who are seeking something more than bland. Pentecostals are excited about what they believe. The baptism in the Holy Spirit gives us a greater love for Jesus, enables us to love others in a greater way. In closing this morning, God is pouring out His Holy Spirit around the world today in an incredible way. Statisticians tell us that right now there are 650 million plus baptized in the Holy Spirit believers around the world right now. That's 2 times the entire United States population. That's a lot of people baptized in the Holy Spirit around the world. And that number grows because statisticians tell us that every single day 27,000 people are baptized in the Holy Spirit around the world every single day. Every single day. Every single day. As we finish this morning, I don't know each of you this morning. I don't know your story. I don't know where you come from. And this Holy Spirit stuff was all brand new to me. Because you see, I did not grow up in an Assemblies of God church, didn't grow up in a Pentecostal church, didn't grow up in a charismatic church. And all this Holy Spirit stuff was all brand new to me. You might say, well, preacher, I don't have any church background. It's all new to me. Well, it was new to me too. Or you might say this morning, well, preacher, I actually come from a liturgical church background. Maybe it's Lutheran or Catholic or Methodist or Presbyterian. I spent the first 8 years of my life in a liturgical church. Spent the first 8 years of my life in a Lutheran church. wonderful, wonderful people. They were kind, they were loving, they were gracious. They were wonderful, wonderful people. But in those 8 years, I don't remember anybody talking about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I didn't hear anything about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Or you might say this morning, well, preacher, I actually come from an evangelical church background. Maybe it's a Baptist background or Evangelical Free or Missionary Alliance or Nazarene. I spent the next 8 years of my life in an evangelical church, spent the next 8 years in a Baptist church, a wonderful Baptist church. People who loved Jesus, people who were committed to Christ. People I will forever be indebted to, because it was during that eight-year period, when the age of 10, I made a commitment to my life to Jesus. Greatest decision I've ever made in all of my life. Wonderful, wonderful people. People who believed that what was in the book of Acts was powerful. What was in the book of Acts was real. What was in the book of Acts was wonderful. But in that particular church, they also preached, taught, and believed that when the book of Acts ended, so did the baptism in the Holy Spirit. It was powerful back then. It was real back then. It was wonderful back then. But when the book of Acts ended, so did the baptism in the Holy Spirit. So during those 8 years, I didn't see people receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit after I made a commitment in my life to Christ. I didn't desire the baptism in the Holy Spirit because people told me this wasn't for today. Well, then in my late teenage years, my parents began to go to an Assemblies of God church. It was the Ironwood Assembly of God in Ironwood, Michigan. And it was in that church that I began to hear about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And I began to learn about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And I learned that Peter, when he explained on the day of Pentecost what had happened in that upper room and in the outpouring of the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and Peter said, Acts 2:39, this is for you. This is for your children. This is for those who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. I learned it was not only for that generation, not only for the next generation, but it was for all future generations, and it was still for today. I learned it was for any believer, every believer, and all believers. Then as we kept going to that church, I began to be open to the baptism in the Holy Spirit. You know, open in this way, yes, Lord, I believe it's real. And it's nice those people have it. But I didn't think I needed that. But then as we kept going to that church, I began to casually desire the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Casually desiring in this way, yes, Lord, I believe it's real. And Lord, if you want to hit me with it, you go right ahead. Like it's a 2x4 that he's going to nail me with, you know, one day. We're not going to ask God for this. We're not going to seek God for this. But you want to nail me with it, you go right ahead. By the way, with that mindset, chances are slim we're going to receive. He expects us to ask. He expects us to desire. He doesn't force it on anybody. This church doesn't force it on anybody. We need to ask if we want to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then it got to the point where I really wanted to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. I remember I got prayed for in church to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. You know what happened? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Ever happened to any of you? Not a thing happened. So I thought, well, I'll pray on my own. So I prayed on my own. You know what happened? Nothing. Well, by now I was a student at Northern Michigan University, Marquette, Michigan, as I mentioned earlier. I'll never forget this night as long as I live. I'd been in the library that night studying. And it was now midnight and the library was closing. I had to leave the library that midnight, walk across campus to my dormitory. That midnight I left the library, started walking across an empty vacant field between the library and my dormitory. And hey, it's the middle of the night, nobody's around. And so as I started walking across that empty, vacant field, I just started praying out loud, Lord, I just want all that you promised. Lord, I want all that's available. Lord, just baptize me in the Holy Spirit. And before I even fully realized what happened, I found I was no longer praying in English, but I was praying in another language. Got baptized in the Holy Spirit walking across a field in the middle of the night at a secular university. Hey, I assure you, Northern Michigan University is not the hotbed of Christianity in America. If it can happen there, it can happen anywhere. But there were three things that caused me to desire to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, don't miss it. Number one, I came to the conclusion that if Jesus thought this was important, then I wanted whatever Jesus thought was important. Second of all, I came to the conclusion if there was more available than what I had already received, then I wanted all that was available. And thirdly, I came to conclusion, if the baptism in the Holy Spirit can do everything this book says it can, then I needed the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And I found the baptism in the Holy Spirit changed my Christian life. I found it was the gateway to supernatural power. It was the gateway to supernatural prayer. It was the gateway to supernatural provision. The baptism in the Holy Spirit, it's a gateway to supernatural prayer, supernatural power, and supernatural provision. Let's bow our heads together in prayer this morning. Beth, if you'll come to the keyboard, please. Father, this morning we thank you and we praise you from the very depths of our heart for who you are. Father, this morning we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. And Father, this morning we are so thankful for Jesus. Because Father, we realize that without Jesus, we would have no relationship with you. Father, we realize that without Jesus, we'd be on our own to make it in this life. We realize that without Jesus, we would have none of the Holy Spirit within us. Without Jesus, we'd be ineligible for everything I preached on this morning. And without Jesus, we'd have no home waiting for us in heaven. We realize that without Jesus, we would have nothing. But oh, Father, this morning we're so thankful and grateful for all that we have available to us through Jesus. And Father, we realize we can never earn, merit, or deserve anything we receive of you. But we thank you that it's not dependent on our earning and meriting and deserving. But we thank you for your grace and your mercy and all that you make available to us. Father, we also realize you never force anything on anybody, but you wait for us to open the doors and the windows of our life. Father, we pray that in the closing moments of this service, we would open the doors and the windows of our life, allowing your work to be furthered within us, doing things in us that only you can do as we give you access to our lives. This morning, with every head bowed, every eye closed, and no one looking around, please. I don't know each person here this morning, and I don't know where you are at in your spiritual life. And this morning, you might say, preacher, this morning you've preached on the baptism in the Holy Spirit that's available to every follower of Jesus. But I've come into this service, and I've never made a commitment to my life to Jesus. And without a commitment of our life to Jesus, we have no relationship with God. We are on our own in this life. We have none of the Holy Spirit within us. Ineligible for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. No home waiting for us in heaven. We have nothing, we have nothing, we have nothing. But the good news this morning is Jesus stands with his arms wide open saying, come to me. I will cleanse you, I will forgive you, I'll make you a child of God. I'll be with you while you walk on this earth. I'll prepare a home for heaven when this life is done. But it all starts with a commitment of our life to Jesus. And he stands with his arms wide open waiting for you. Secondly, you might be here this morning and say, preacher, I've done that before, but you know that as sure as you're sitting here this morning, you're not living by that commitment you made to Christ. And something we committed our life to years ago, but we're not living by today, doesn't do us any good. The issue isn't years ago, the issue is where we at this morning. But the good news this morning is Jesus stands with his arms wide open, just waiting for you to come back. He's standing with his arms wide open, waiting, just waiting for you, waiting for you. Thirdly, you might be here this morning, you'd say, preacher, I am a follower of Jesus, but there's stuff in my life that shouldn't be there. And I need Jesus to cleanse me, to wash me, to forgive me of the sin in my life. And this morning, he stands with his arms wide open, waiting to cleanse, to wash, to forgive, if we're just willing to admit and acknowledge our need of his cleansing and forgiveness. This morning, in this first altar call, we're not going to have you come forward, but just simply in a moment. If you need to make that commitment of your life to Christ, you need to recommit your life to Christ, or you need cleansing and forgiveness from sin. In a moment, we're going to ask you to slip up your hand, and then we're going to have one word of prayer for everyone who slips up their hand this morning. So this morning, with every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around, please. This morning, if you need to make that commitment of your life to Christ, or you need to recommit your life to Christ, or you need cleansing and forgiveness from sin, this morning, right here, right now, right where you're at, just slip up that hand right now. Just slip it up right now and put it back down again. Just slip it up quickly and put it back down again. I see that hand. You may put it down. I see that hand. You may put it down. Are there others? Are there others? Are there others? I see those hands. You may put them down. Still others. Still others. Still others. We'll wait. I see that one. You may put it down. And still others. Still others. We'll wait a moment longer. Father, this morning you've seen the beautiful sight. Individuals responding to the tuggings of your Holy Spirit upon their hearts. And Father, we know that you love them. We know that you're thrilled with the tenderness of their hearts. And Father, we ask that this morning you will minister to the very reason why they've raised their hand this morning. I pray, Father, you will cleanse them and you will wash them. You will forgive them of the sin in their life. As they in this quiet moment admit and acknowledge their sin to you and ask for your forgiveness, the forgiver of sins, as they ask for your forgiveness, I pray, Father, you will cleanse them, you will wash them, you will forgive them of the sin in their life. And I pray, Father, you will come and live within them by your Holy Spirit if you're not already there. And I pray, Father, you will help them as they live for Jesus from this day on. Father, we thank you for your cleansing. We thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you that you dwell within us by your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for what you have done by your grace and mercy. Thank you for what you're going to do in the coming days. And Father, we ask and we pray this in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen.